From the front office to center ice. This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you. Bruins coming off a 3-2 overtime win yesterday against Carolina. I'll have the weekend off. Can you call it a light schedule, I guess, in terms of the number of games. Not a light schedule in terms of opponents that are on the way. Tampa Bay in town on Tuesday, Colorado on Saturday. Vegas comes in after that, and then a three-game trip that includes Colorado and Vegas on the bookends of that trip coming up as well.
Play Colorado and Vegas twice within a week, right? Well, 1 week for Colorado, 1 week for Vegas, but, I mean, that's the only time we see them this year, so it's going to be quick. But certainly, the Bruins, by the way, they're 8-0 against the Western Conference. I mean, the three losses have come against Atlantic Division teams, right? So, but 8-0 against the West, and you're going to have a steady dose of the West coming up after the Tampa game.
Well, joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is our buddy Ty Anderson from 98.5thesportshub.com. Good morning, Ty.
Good morning, guys.
So, Bruins, over this course of this week, convincing win over Chicago. They beat Tampa Bay. They lose the game against Florida on Wednesday, come back with an overtime win against Carolina. This 12-0 record at home, NHL record, is something that it felt like in listening to Jim Montgomery and some of the players that they put a little extra emphasis on yesterday's game. They really wanted that record, didn't they?
Yeah, listen, I mean, you don't get a there's no trophy or banner for it, but you can use it as... You know, you can use it to call back to when you're trying to win that trophy and hang that banner later. I think that's important. That's something that Jim Montgomery has brought up in the past too, where you know, the streak isn't as important as the lessons you can learn along the way when you are on a streak like this. And I think yesterday was a great example of that. You know, being down one through 40 minutes of play, they played some really inspired hockey. I thought the second half of the game, just in general, but. To pull that out against a quality opponent who, you know, was looking to bounce back on their own, basically, given what they went through on Wednesday night, a bad loss to Arizona, you know, their rivals. It was a great win, I thought. And I really thought that it was really carried by Charlie McAvoy. Jim Montgomery mentioned that the tone setting hit he had in the second period there and how that really kind of sparked the Bruins. I like the little wins that you had within this game. And I think those can really show up when it comes to, when it comes to getting the wins that really matter, you know, come April, May, and June.
I was talking earlier about, you know, when Krejci gets that goal late in the second period, but you mentioned, and it had come up on the show, that hit by McAvoy, it felt like, just watching the game on television, it felt like the energy level changed in the building at that point.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think they needed a shift like that, needed a moment like that. McAvoy is one of those guys who, you know, I think when they really missed him last year in the playoffs, beyond the obvious of he's a stud defenseman, was that he has that tone setting, game changing ability with a big hit, with a big play. Like, and you don't think about it, you know, because he does everything else so well, but like, he is such a heartbeat kind of talent in addition to everything else. So to have that, I think it was a huge moment in that game. You know, I think by my count, after that hit, they outshot Carolina 24-17, outscored them 3-0. Prior to that, it was Carolina 2-0, and shots, I think, were, I want to say, 19-16, favoring Carolina. It might be like one shot off on that, but it definitely had a tangible effect on the team. And, you know, I think you have little rivalries within this rivalry, right? You know, I don't think the players necessarily love Andrei Svechnikov. I don't think they love Kotkaniemi, you know, like, so to dish out some punishment on those guys, that line, I think it goes a long way.
See, what I think goes a long way, Ty, to sort of add on to your point about the importance of that win, yes, it does set the NHL record. They're 12-0 on home ice. But go back. So when the Bruins had their previous third period comeback, it came on the road in Pittsburgh. You're down three during the course of that game. Hampus Lindholm wins it. He had a four-point performance. He caps it with the overtime game winner. There were a lot of guys associated with the team that said, that's where we really started to kick it up and grab our swagger. Well, now you've added to that with the performance that you had yesterday. Down 2-0 on home ice on Black Friday against a high-level opponent, a team that eliminated you last year from the playoffs, and you rally to win it. So I think these are things, and again, we've got a long way to go, but this has the makings of a special season for the Bruins. This will be an important milepost for the Bruins during the course of the season, I think, if we look back and they do have that special season.
Yeah, I mean, how many character wins have they had already, right? They're 21 games in. It feels like there's been more than a couple, right? And you're talking about a team that is, you know, is 18-3, and they've you know, it's not like they're steamrolling. I mean, they are in some games, sure, but like to have this amount of character wins, guys, I feel like can go a long way to your point.
The negative that comes out of yesterday's game is the injury to Ullmark, certainly. What were they saying after the game? What will, you know, when will we get some sort of an idea as to how significant that was?
Well, practice will begin in about 20 minutes over at Warrior Ice Arena. We'll get an idea as to what's happening there. And now after the game, Jim Montgomery said that he thinks they're going to be fine. Now, those are sometimes famous last words, as we all know. But they said Montgomery had an interesting comment, I thought, where he said that the concern for Linus is something that he hasn't dealt with before, right? So what does that mean? You know, you go through his injury history. I can't speculate on these kind of things. I never want to speculate on these kind of things. But it looked like the trainers were feeling around his side, you know, watching the replay. Now, I'm not sure if that's just you know, whatever, but so I want to know if he's going to be out there today. And now the good news is if he's not, Keith Kincaid would be back up. And he had a good effort. Now I know the quality of competition is a little bit different this week, but you know, and you have Jeremy Swayman who came in and came in cold and played really well, I thought, because he only faced six shots, but they were some high quality looks within those six shots, I thought.
And that's not easy to do, to your point, Ty, coming off the bench cold in a game like that, high intensity, and making some key saves in order to pick up the win. But the other thing I keep thinking about with Linus Ullmark and the schedule that the Bruins have in front of them, one of the great Lou Lamoriello lines is, if you have time, use it. So the Bruins have this light schedule. So this gives you an opportunity to get Ullmark, maybe a few other guys who are banged up, right, so you are ready for the rest of this segment where you're facing some terrific competition around the National Hockey League.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're going to need that too. You know, beyond the obvious, you know, they've always said that they like the idea of keeping that 50-50 split, right? And that, and so if you want to stay true to that or as true to it as you can, you need to carve out maybe a little bit of a run here for Jeremy Swayman where, you know, he goes on his own little heater. And that's kind of been what's been the backbone of their success. We all know, we've talked about before, but you know, they've always had at least one of the goalies going, right? And so I think we're still waiting for that Jeremy Swayman run. And maybe this gives him the opportunity to A, go on that, and to B, get Linus Ullmark healthy and upright, you know, should he need more of an extended break beyond, you know, this weekend.
Well, and if that is the nice thing about the schedule is you theoretically should only need one goalie for this week, right? I mean, whether it's Ullmark or Swayman, you play on Tuesday, you don't play again until Saturday, so you've got a nice stretch here where it's not like you have back-to-backs crammed in there or you've got three games in 4 days where you're going to need a second guy, you know, assuming everything goes according to plan. If Swayman starts both of those games, that's you know, that's fine.
Yeah, it's actually it's a more, you know, normal pace than when they lost Jeremy Swayman. And even then, they had Ullmark going every game until a back-to-back came up. And then they gave a game to Kincaid, and he was great. So yeah, it is bouncing their way, right? And I think that you look at this upcoming schedule here, and obviously you have more iron in the league, right, that you're going to go against. But I do believe that, you know, they are positioned well, to you guys' point. And the one thing that I'm a little bit nervous about when it comes to this upcoming schedule is between Colorado, Tampa, and surprisingly the Coyotes, you're going against some of the league's better power play units, right? So hopefully, you know, I'm sure you guys touched on it. Hopefully that PK issues can get squared away. Maybe you get Derek Forbert back along the way as well. I know he's been skating, so he was at practice earlier this week in Florida. So that's the only concern there. But I mean, that's the thing. We're worrying about concerns here with this team when they continue to find ways to win and they're positioned well on and off the ice with these roadblocks that appear in front of them.
The other thing that's going to help them as far as the time, hopefully Trent Frederick will be able to see him here shortly because of the minimal amount of games that you're going to play. He got nicked up the other day when the Bruins were in Tampa. I'm sure we're going to have a little bit of word on Craig Smith. He had to leave during the course of the game. And since you mentioned the Bruins PK, you know, Beersey kind of touched on it. It's striking to me to look at the power play numbers, not just for the Bruins, but around the league. The average power play, average, is 22%. That used to be near an elite level. So what the man advantages have been able to do around the National Hockey League to capitalize on this outman situation has been something to watch.
Oh yeah, it's been. I remember, you know, I was looking up the numbers since how they performed without Derek Forbert. You know, since he left the lineup, and they're 20th in the NHL in PK at 76%. I mean, 76 is only 20th now. I feel like that would be unheard of. You know, a few years ago, it's been absolutely wild. I mean, there's just so much skill out there. And I really think that they, you know, there's obviously issues beyond just missing Derek Forbert with their PK right now. But he's just such a presence there, you know, 6'4", blocks everything, cleans up all the messes, you know, like. But right now, you got over the last month and change, you got about 10 power plays that are clicking over 25%. I mean, it's just the league has changed like so much in terms of that offensive scoring, that firepower. So to maybe get a guy like Forbert back in the coming days and weeks here would be a massive boost to, I think, just not only the PK as a whole, but the locker room, right? I mean, they love this guy. They talk about him, the second goaltender. You know, he's got the Basset Hound, which I'm a huge fan of as, you know, as a former Basset Hound owner. So the morale, I think, is always good around this team, you know, on and off the ice, like I was saying. It goes a long way, I think.
Well, tough to have, you know, tough to not have good morale when you're 18-3. On the year, right? Just you wake up, the sun is always shining, everything is going the right way for this team right now, especially on home ice. And two more big games on home ice this week. Ty, we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome, sounds good, guys.
Ty Anderson, 98.5thesportshub.com is where you can read his Bruins coverage. All right, your call's coming up, 617-779-0985, with more thoughts on the Bruins from this week here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Stay tuned for more of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers. This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And it's slammed out to center ice. Stamkos has a guy breaking its point. He's in. Shoots Ullmark to stop at the far post. It's sent out in front and swam at a good stop on Lundell, who had a step. And now the Bruins have to hustle back defensively. Aho over the line left side. Centered out in front. Swam in the save. Rebound. The net is dislodged. And we've got to stop and play with 2:02 left here in the third in a 2-2 game. And now the tempers start to boil over.
The sounds of our amazing saves of the week presented by UFOS, who has teamed with Jeremy Swayman for Kick Saves for Cancer. UFOS will donate $10 for every save this season.
to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, up to $25,000. Visit UFOS.com to learn how every online purchase also contributes to the goal of finding a cure for cancer. That's OOFOS.com. Back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers with you as we take you up until 11 o'clock this morning. 617-779-0985, of course, is our number. Let's grab Doug in the car, who's been waiting for a while. Hey, Doug.
Hey, guys. How we doing? So I might be one of very few or alone on this, but I think it's a mistake putting Zacha on the second line and Taylor Hall down on the third line for a couple of reasons. One, Taylor Hall has been known to check out on previous teams. Now, granted, those were bad teams, and we're doing really well right now. But playing around inferior talent compared to himself and Coyle and Frederick, who knows if he could check out there. And not to mention, he has chemistry on the second line as well. And when you have him on the second line, you have three elite players doing three elite things rather than if he's on the third line where he's the only elite player, which is two average players. I don't know. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. Thanks. Have a good one.
Yeah, well, right now, there is no checkout for him. I mean, I thought he was one of the more effective players. I talked about it earlier, along with Coyle on that line. The way they started the game, good shift to start the game. I thought they had a couple real good shifts. He was involved in that game, talking about Taylor Hall in a number of different ways. He made a nice move on Brent Burns in the second period. I thought he got maybe tripped. Was that an overtime or might have been overtime, where he had the opportunity, he went outside in on Brent Burns. He had the good opportunity where he drove the net. It was kind of a power move, and DeHaan was able to get a piece of him, but he still chipped the puck on that. He was skating and creating yesterday. And then on top of that, when the Hurricanes had a two-on-one and Natchez had the initial chance and it was stopped by Swayman, who was the guy diving on the back check coming back that ended up dislodging the net because he was flying into
great
the net.
Play.
That's Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
He's engaged. Now, I think that we've seen from Jim Montgomery that the lines are fluid. He'll mix and match as games go on or from game to game, but certainly in game we've seen changes. So if he thinks a line is not going or a couple players are not going and somebody else is going, he'll make some changes. So for right now, it's fine. It's working. If he needs to make a change, he will. And we'll probably see changes as you move forward.
And actually, Taylor Hall, when we spoke in Tampa, he said, I like the fact that I get a chance to play with all these different guys here in the top nine.
Well, he's not going to say he doesn't. I mean, you're right, though, Judd. And he's right. And Montgomery made it a point before the season started that he wants everybody in the top nine to be comfortable playing with everybody. Now, you're not going to see Bergeron and Marchand, broken up. But be comfortable playing with everybody because he's not a guy that sticks with one lineup every day and every game. He's going to make some changes as things go based on how guys are playing.
You know what? The other thing that we haven't touched on this morning is Patrice Bergeron hitting 1,000 points. That was, first of all, congratulations. What a terrific feat to be able to pull that off. There are only, 74 guys in NHL history that have done it, currently playing in the league, including Bergeron. There's only seven, one of only four Bruins now that has done it. Now he's on the chase. He's only 11 points with the assist on the game winner last night. He's only 11 points behind Phil Esposito. But I think of so many things with that. For Bergeron and the record in particular, this is a guy who's been asked night in and night out to check the opponent's top player, to worry about not what, what he's going to do when he has the puck. It's to make sure that he stops the opponent first and foremost. Keep that puck out of your own net. And he's been able to not only do that, but translate that at the other end to 1,000 points and counting. That is impressive. And that moment that we saw with Marchand scoring the goal, immediately pointing to Bergeron. Bergeron, I don't think at the time, knew that he was going to get an assist on that play. And then everybody comes off the bench, something that was Brad Marchand's idea. You had to have it cleared from the National Hockey League. And to see the joy in Bergeron, the joy from his teammates, that was a very special moment thus far this season.
Yeah, two things on that, and to add to your point, the genuine excitement by all the teammates.
Yeah.
And trust me, it's genuine. And that shows you the respect that he has with his teammates. And, you know, it continued. It was on the ice. It continued into the locker room and certainly on our way to the next city in Fort Lauderdale. They enjoyed it. And it was great to see that genuine just excitement by everybody. You know the respect level. But the other part of that, and we need you got to put it in perspective. Bruins have been around for almost 100 years. And there's only three other guys who have done this in a Bruins uniform. You know, that's, I mean, when you look at it and you know, it's Chief and Phil Esposito and, of course, Ray Bourque, who's still the, you know, the all-time leading scorer in the Bruins. That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good. And to add to Judd's, you know, comment that not only does he get 1,000 points in his career, he's also had to endure some injuries, some major injuries along the way. And he wins the Selke a record 5 times as the best defensive forward. It's really amazing. It truly is. And, you know, I hope people don't take it for granted what we've seen, you know, from Bergeron throughout his career here. And it's been great to watch. I've had the pleasure and honor of watching
you've got the chance to see every game, right?
So it's been, except for the year he went down to Providence during the lockout. Right? Remember, he loses a year in the lockout.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, those numbers could be even a lot higher. You lost a season, or most of a season, because of a concussion. You know, I mean.
Yeah, there was times that, you know, we didn't know.
Right.
We didn't think he would be able to have this kind of longevity.
Yeah.
You know, with the concussion issues. So nobody, you know, nobody knew if he'd still be playing at this point.
Yeah, Jim Montgomery kind of touched on this, and I remember a story from a number of years ago. One of his former assistant coaches had mentioned when he was talking about Bergeron, he said, "I don't think you realize how good he is as an offensive player." And Montgomery mentioned if he took a few shortcuts, he might have gotten there a lot sooner, but that's not who he is.
Let's go to Mike in Florida. Mike, you're up on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. And I just wanted to, first of all, go into what Vanzi just said, okay, about Patrice Bergeron, how people really don't realize this is an organization almost 100 years old. We tend to only live for today. We don't realize, especially these millennials, they don't really understand what the tradition is of the Boston Bruins. They have no idea who Milt Schmidt is, Eddie Shaw, old-time hockey. Patrice Bergeron, to do what he did, to be in with those names, is fantastic. But I'm really calling about the guy a few calls ago who said that Charlie Coyle was just an average player. I don't know what team you've been watching this season, but Charlie Coyle's been one of the best players on the ice for the Boston Bruins this year. Without question, he's having a career year, both power play, penalty killing, both ends of the ice, using his body, his size, his physicality, his reach all around that net, causing havoc. He gives the Bruins a solid third line that, as far as I'm concerned, I watch the NHL Network. They talk about how this team is now four lines deep. You have a third line that can produce offensively, check, play defensively. I don't know what you're talking about when you say Charlie Coyle, just an average player with Taylor Hall. Have a great day.
I appreciate the call, Mike. I mean, we've all, I think, expressed how much we've loved what we've seen out of Coyle so far this season. That, you know, he's just, they've got him in the proper spot in the lineup, and it provides you against most teams that when he's your third line center, you've got a mismatch in your favor.
Yeah. I mean, it's been said plenty of times here, right? I mean, when Jim Montgomery says we need to, you know, hold on to pucks more in the offensive zone, who does that the best? You know, well, there's other guys that do it obviously very well, but Coyle's right up there, you know, in terms of holding on to pucks and creating offensively by doing so. It's, look, he's not playing as much power play right now. That shows you what they have up front. They're pretty, you know, they're pretty happy with some of the lineup that they have up front on the two power play units. But him and Nosek, I know it sprung some leaks recently, but him and Nosek are the first guys over the boards if they're fresh to kill penalties. They're right up there in terms of league leaders in penalty killing minutes. he's going to be the first line that comes out on the ice after a power play, because if he's not on either unit, he's coming right out there. He's on the ice late in games, you know, protecting leads. He's been used in a lot of different situations, and it's a player that, look, if you're trying to, I mean, let's put it in perspective. You can't just put Bergeron out there every other shift, as much as you'd like to and as much as you're tempted to as a coach. You've got to preserve his minutes as a long season goes on. There's games where he might play more, but then there's games where, you know, back-to-back, 3 and 4 nights, you've got to preserve those minutes. And you've got a guy like Coyle that you can use in a lot of different situations. And he's got the luxury right now, Jim Montgomery does, of having, you know, strength in the middle. Bergeron, Krejci, Coyle, and Nosek have all been really good this year, and you can put out different lines that you can trust. So I think that, and Coyle anchors that line, and he drives that line, and that's what they want from him, and he's been really good at it this season.
All right, we will continue into our final half hour. We'll be joined by Billy Jaffe to talk about some things going on around the NHL coming up next on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
You're listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerod, Bob Beers. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. In our final half hour on this Saturday, Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerod, Bob Beers, now joined in studio by Billy Jaffe of NESN and NHL Network. Good to see you in person today. Gonna turn Billy's mic on.
Lighter detail.
Haven't been here a while. Let's forget how this works.
Good to see you guys.
Happy. Had the same issue when we started the show at 9 o'clock.
Honestly, I don't know about you guys, but yesterday's pregame show on NESN, oh my God, it was off. Razor and I, Dale, we struggled mightily. I don't know if you guys did, starting off after Thanksgiving.
That's the way it works.
You were good? We were awful. Oh,
just kidding.
Just
I don't know.
Continues here. No seriously. Tongue-tied and... Oh, my God, it was off. But it continues today. But it's a wonderful Saturday out. Beautiful day.
Try to learn how to say Kochetkov.
Kochetkov.
Because we said it enough yesterday.
I said it so. I bought 4 different ways. Kochetkov.
So the Hurricanes have a pronunciation guide where they actually have the player read it, and then they have the player pronounce his name, and then they have the PR guy pronounce the name again. But I did have a laugh. So on their list, as you're kind of going down there and it's alphabetical, Bobby Orr is on there. So there's somebody saying Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr.
Well, I tell you, Charlie McAvoy kind of gave a bit of a Bobby Orr yesterday. Oh, my God. I mean, different style, but what a performance that hit. Great stuff. I heard you guys
more than one hit.
More than one. It was like 3 on that shift.
There was some other ones, some sneaky ones in there that maybe you didn't catch. But like, you know, when I went back and watched the game a little bit last night, I was like, there's a couple other hits that he threw.
Well, I was waiting for it because this is the first time, you know, I know it's a new season, but, you know, to see Svechnikov on the ice, you know, a guy who labeled Hampus Lindholm clean, hard check that knocked him out for a couple of games. I was wondering, listen, it's a totally new season, but guys do take, you know, sure, they have long memories and we've got a long way to go. You're going to see him 2 more times. That was their only visit to Boston. How involved would Svechnikov be, and how locked up the Bruins would be with a guy like Svechnikov?
So their top guys have been real good.
He's strong. Foligno's a big guy. He's a strong guy. He tried to throw a hit, and you know we've seen guys from the Bruins throw reverse hits, whether it's Clifton, and we saw Bergeron do it yesterday, and others. But you know, Svechnikov was ready for that hit, and he put the shoulder into Foligno on a kind of a I wouldn't call it reverse, but he was ready for it. It was right in front of the bench. it you know, and he was Svechnikov's a he's a player that you enjoy watching, and every other team would love to have him, but you dislike him if you're an opponent. There's no question about it. Because
you're right. He's a little bit of a history of walking the line, yep, too, with high stuff.
Yep.
And so that's going to be
stick work, things like that.
That's going to be his one thing.
I can't believe he complained about the tripping penalty.
I can't either.
He was complaining about the tripping penalty. It was the most obvious penalty that he could have called.
I know.
And then he was upset when Pastrnak gave him a little love tap across the shin pad in the third period. After he threw a big hit on him.
They were barking at the referees. When was it? I forget which penalty it was, and then Aho came over. I think it was to Chris Rooney, and Mike is on. Yeah. Get out of here. Right.
It was a tripping penalty.
Right, that was the tripping penalty.
That was the penalty.
Yes. Yeah. I agree, but he's a bull. He can skate like a cheetah. Like, he's powerful out there too. And Razor and I were talking during the game. He's the type of guy that next thing you know, in like 14 years from now, he's played like 1,300 games. 50, you know, like, he's that kind of guy. You know, he's been in the league since he's been 18, and he's gonna go, and he's a beast out there. But the Bruins did a great job against him. And what a fun game. I heard you guys already talk about it, and I agree wholeheartedly. The best, most entertaining game of the year. And it comes off of the playoff matchups the last couple of years, and this is what playoffs breed. They breed intensity, and man, was it a great, fun game to watch and to work.
Well, and you get the Black Friday component, too, which is always a fun, like, it's a great atmosphere. That Friday afternoon, everybody's riled up. You get a chance to go out and have a few pops, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, and, you know, a couple of Bloody Marys on your way in, and it always has.
And that's just the kids.
Yeah. it always feels Skittles. Like more Skittles. Than just a typical regular season game.
No
on
question.
That Friday.
Yeah, the air around the arena, the causeway area, is just phenomenal. You walk in out of the parking lot and people are jazzed up. Great day, perfect day for hockey. And I know it's not the official beginning of hockey season. I get it, blah, blah, all that stuff. But it just feels like it turns a little bit of a corner on the Black Friday game into even a higher degree.
You mentioned Razor earlier, Andrew Raycroft. So if we can get into the league a little bit. Last night.
Oh, boy.
Toronto against Minnesota.
Yep.
Matt Goalie's Murray.
Cheat. Goalie's
the,
cheat.
The goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Not once. Not twice. Three times. Knocked the net off its pegs.
Yeah.
When Minnesota had good pressure, moving side to side, knocking the net off, and whatever reverse VH, whatever that thing is.
Could have had a VH, Bob.
Yeah. Well, so what does Razor have to say about it? Because it's not just last night. It's been happening. And
I'll tell you this. We haven't talked specifically about it, and we'll get into it more. One comment I've read is that there's a feeling that the pegs get looser as the goaltenders do it. Hold on. That's Judd's giving me the sigh. Fooey on that, and I'll keep my language clean here. It's not a podcast, because we've been using these pegs, unless they've changed, for 20 years now, maybe even more. I think the people we need to really speak with are get somebody from the Bull Gang to find out what happens to these things if they get popped and do they get weaker. I do wonder if the league has changed the parameters. You know, Dan Craig and his guys, Danny retired, so it's his son now is in charge of the NHL ice. Have they changed it at all to where they want the nets popping a little bit more for safety for players? It's all worthy stuff. You guys asked me if I talk to any of the league. I haven't yet, but it's something that I can do this week because it's becoming an issue. It is. It's becoming an issue where goaltenders, and they're constantly using the post to push. That's what they're saying. But now they're pushing, laterally, they're pushing upward. Now,
well, Shesterkin hurt him on that goal by Pastrnak.
Exactly.
From a bad angle, right?
Exactly.
I think it was Pastrnak.
Yes, it was from the backhand from that crazy shot.
We had an incident the other night, but Spencer Knight pushed off and he had to get his left or his right leg over to make a save on a one timer. Might have been Pastrnak again, but in doing so, his foot actually pushed the post off. And I didn't have a problem with that one. I didn't think that one was bad at all. I mean, he's desperation trying to get over there, make that save. And his foot happened to catch the post and knock it off. But I did have a problem watching the highlights from last night of
because it's up. It's up with it. It's not just laterally.
And I'm sitting here looking at the overhead of all three of them, and you can see there's a push
by
his arm. He's using his arm to leverage that net off the peg. And the Wild were rightfully steamed about
it. In season, the NHL has sent out memos before to their officials via the BOD or whatever, via the governors, saying point of emphasis, keep an eye on this type of thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was this, because it's also gaining a lot of social media traction, too, and that it's happening too much. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the officials got a notice about it.
Well, you know what would gain even more is if the roles were reversed and if Marc-Andre Fleury did it to the Leafs, then you'd really see the memo fired off. Here we go. Take a look at this.
Probably. Yeah. Everybody, the eyeballs.
Because the Leafs won, maybe, it's not that important.
Yeah.
How about just like the New Jersey game the other day against the Leafs?
Oh, against the Leafs. Yeah, the three overturned
goals.
New
Jersey, first of all, has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a season they've had. And the Bruins are going to see them twice in December within a week.
Once before and once after, right?
Right after Christmas.
Right after Christmas. They are so fast. They are playing a fast system, and they're getting just good enough goaltending. But how they're doing, it's interesting. They've combined some systems that they used before, but Beersey and Judd, RG, they're getting just enough goaltending. I couldn't tell you that I was really a fan of Vitek Vanacek when he was with the Washington Capitals, but maybe, just maybe, the truth is the Capitals D sucked, and that's why he's faced a lot of more high-danger chances, because he's making most of the saves that they need there right now.
Yeah, they had three. So for anybody, they were playing Toronto the other day in New Jersey, and they had three goals called back. And
one was a kick.
So I missed the first one. I didn't see the first one. I saw the second, the goalie interference, mm-hmm. where one of the Devils players kind of locked skates with Murray. And I think they got it right.
I think they got it right,
the
too.
The kick to me was, so it was Arikala,
yep.
who followed up, and his stick was kind of tied up. So he kicked with his right skate, but he wasn't kicking towards the net. He was kicking to try to make a pass to a player because mm-hmm. he couldn't do it with his stick. And it went off of a Toronto Maple Leaf defenseman and in. And it's no goal. And, I hadn't seen that before. It's a distinct kicking motion. Nobody's questioning that. But it wasn't directed at the net. It was actually directed across the crease.
Right.
But it goes in, and it wasn't a change of possession, so it's no goal. And New Jersey, that was the third one. It's a 2-1 game. New Jersey's fans went ballistic.
From the balcony.
With full beers. I mean, those things are expensive.
Like seven beers.
Throwing these. And the Leafs had to leave the bench. They had to get off the ice.
Well, Eric Howell actually came back out to try to get the fans to stop doing it.
But they got it right.
They did get it right.
So the Leafs had a couple funny ones here over the last couple games.
Yeah.
But they're winning. I mean, at the same time, listen, there's
look at Thomas,
they're depleted on questionable defense. Circumstances, but
talking about Toronto.
The Leafs are 12-5-5 out of the gate. I mean, they're
5-0-2, I think, in their last seven, if I remember correctly.
And they're missing four of their top six defensemen.
Jake Muzzin may never play again. TJ Brody's been out for at least a week, if not 2 weeks, I believe now. They're fun up front. They're fast. They are obviously highly skilled. We all know, everybody knows that this is it for them and management with regard to they either make it or break it. And it's not a make it to the second round. It's got to be the Eastern Conference final for them. Sheldon Keefe has had a firmer grasp on this team, at least overtly in the media. I mean, I don't know
his backtracking earlier in the season.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Game one, they lose in Montreal. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Absolutely unacceptable.
He's tried to be a little more firm in the media, though.
Well, but I think part of the reason that they have picked it up and overcome some of these injuries is because the big guys have started to pick it up.
Yeah.
You're seeing goals by Nylander. Marner's on a terrific
run. Well, they split Marner and Matthews, too.
But what will be interesting across the long season is they're a top-heavy group. They don't have a whole lot on those third and fourth lines. What are they going to do? The Rangers are built very much the same way, and Igor Shesterkin is not saving their bacon on a regular basis, and because of that, they're not as high up in the standings, and I've seen some grumbling about Artemi Panarin's play of late, but I think in getting back to the Leafs, until they figure out what are they going to get from their third and their fourth lines, I still think they have a long way to go.
They do have a long way to go, but this is regular season hockey that they can play through. And they've got so many top players in between Matthews. I mean, Marner. Would you say Marner is, I don't know if he's the best of them all. I mean, he's
15-game point streak.
Right, it's hard to say that when you've got maybe arguably the best scorer in the league in Matthews there too. But Marner is just so impressive what he can do. John Tavares, or Tavares, whatever you want to call him, he doesn't care. Either one's fine, because his dad says one, his mom says the other. He's been having a great season. But when it's all said and done, D and goalie there. See, I think more than their depth. Their depth is, of course, it's important. But their goaltending and D there, when it's all said and done, come a playoff series.
Billy Jaffe is joining us. We got a few more minutes with him. We'll see Tampa Bay again this week with the Bruins. We just saw them down in Tampa.
They played a good game last night against St. Louis. They beat them by a couple of goals.
Yeah, 5-2, I think, was the final in that game. What have you made of the Lightning so far? It's like they're just kind of, you know.
Well, they feel that
somebody asked me the other day. It's, you know, when the Bruins were going to play them. It's like, is it, you know, is Tampa any good? Like, well, it's still Tampa. I mean, they still have a lot of talent on that team.
I think they're very good. I think that they're, I believe in John Cooper. They feel without Cirelli that has just really thrown off and off a lot of their lineup. I'm not saying he's their Bergeron.
It's good, though.
He's very good. I'm not saying he is Bergeron. I'm saying he's their version to them, and they feel that they need him to really complete their forward group. They've played a ton of games in the last 3 years. Hedman, he was good against the Bruins. He was noticeable there for the first, the first period. He was excellent. Second, third, Bruins were great. But Hedman has started out slowly, despite the fact that he's playing 24 plus, maybe close to 25 minutes. There's some feeling that maybe he's one of the guys that is just tired from all of the hockey he's played. He doesn't have McDonough there to take some heavy-duty minutes on the PK, shutdown, et cetera. Jan Ruta is not there as well. So it's a bit of a team and change.
McDonough.
Did I say McDonough?
Maybe you did. I missed it.
Yeah, McDonough.
And Palat up front.
I was going to go there. And Palat is the other guy up front. They don't have. So Palat's a winner. Like, he's beast mode come playoff time. He's a winner. So it's a team in transition. I still think they're good. With Vasilevskiy starting there, although I was surprised that he gave up the Krejci goal from a straightaway slap shot.
Krejci's firing bombs right now.
He is firing bombs. But I don't know how they're going to do it, but somehow, some way, Julien Brisebois is still going to make alterations to that lineup. Somehow, some way, unless the team falls apart and doesn't make some crazy trades. He's just in it to win it. So I think they are very good. Kucherov is one of the great temperamental, ultra-temperamental superstars in the game. He can beat you, and he can also beat his own team with his attitude at times, but he is a special player. So I do still think that they're a very good team.
Oh, Braden Point looked terrific.
And that's right. And
that save, I think you played it earlier, that Allmark made on Braden Point with the game very early. That was a key save for Linus Allmark. But Braden Point, that was a guy, if you think back last year to the Stanley Cup final, they didn't have him. He tore his quad in Game 7 against Toronto. He tried to come back and play, and they basically had to shut him down. This was a guy in back-to-back years that led the Stanley Cup playoffs in goal scoring. That's an enormous piece, and he was flying the other night in Tampa.
All three of those guys, they're without McDonough, Palat, Ruta. Even though Ruta's on a lower level than those guys time-wise, they're all also calming influences out there for that team. How they are. They're not. This is already a team of very big personalities. Hedman's got a big personality. Stamkos does. Kucherov does. He can be surly, but his personality permeates through the team. They had a lot of calming influence, especially Palat and McDonough. Those two guys did it. And so now they're probably trying to find, can Chernak be that guy? Can Cirelli be that guy? Let's give them a little time. I think they've earned let's give them 40 games to see what they are instead of 20.
Hey, just real quick before we wrap up, I have to ask you about the Seattle Kraken. They're
unbelievable.
They've won four in a row. They're in second place in the division a quarter of the way through the season.
Just beat Vegas last night.
I know. I keep saying they're not for real. I'm actually very happy for Marty Jones, the former Boston Bruin goaltender. Extraordinary. How was he for
one
day?
Hour?
Yeah.
Have they put his number up in the rafters
I
yet?
Know. And I have
Brubauer played last night.
But I'm saying in general, Jones has been their bedrock, you know, to this point. And how he's done it, quite honestly, based on what he did in years prior, I'm not sure, but I'm happy for them. Matty Beniers is the real deal. Hingham's own Matty Beniers. He is going to be an outstanding player, very much in the likes of Ron Francis, how he thinks the game. And they're getting depth and goaltending, which they weren't getting last year. It's a fun story. If they make it to the playoffs, I'd be shocked, but it's a fun story, and good for them so far.
Good to see you.
Good to
Thanks
see
for coming
you too,
in.
Buddy. Yep.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Our thanks to Billy Jaffe and Ty Anderson and to our friends. Don't forget about that game next week. Get your tickets. Go to the Bruins Foundation website. There's a link on the Boston Bruins website. Next Saturday afternoon, they're going to be raising, hopefully, a lot of money for Warrior for Life Fund and the supporting charities, including Fisher House of Boston. Next Saturday afternoon, Bruins alumni involved in that game, 2 o'clock over at Warrior Arena. We will be back next Saturday morning here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with more of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
This is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.